Hello, my name is Rasmus Røe. I am the medical lead and scheme director of Nordic QC. We have now completed the assessments of run 76, B41 and H29. The general reports, individual results and recommended protocols are now available on our homepage. In order to check your individual results, you need to log in. In this podcast, Dr. Kristi Bøge Andersen, Scientific Associate and PhD Fellow, will present an overview of the results.
Welcome to this update on the Nordic QC assessment. In this session, we will look at five markers from general module: calretinin, CDX2, CK5, MLH1 and BAX5. We will also cover the latest results for breast module, estrogen receptor, HER2-IHC and HER2-ISH. But before we get into the individual markers, just one practical note. The main challenge in this run turned out not to be assay sensitivity or retrieval conditions, but the Danish Postal Service. This led to many recent slides, more late arrivals than usual, and in some cases, slides that are still missing. We apologize for the inconvenience this caused participants. Even so, the material returned was sufficient to allow a robust assessment of the markers covered in this update. Let's begin. Calretinin is a marker we often use when working up tumors of unknown origin. Its main role is to help support the diagnosis of mesothelioma and sex cord stromal tumors. In other words, it helps us place a tumor in the right diagnostic family. In this run, 408 laboratories took part, and 85% achieved a sufficient result. That is an improvement compared with the previous assessments, which suggests that overall performance of calretinin is moving in the right direction. The main weak point, however, remained DAC-CALRET1 on DAC-OMNIS platform. At the present, there is no validated ready-to-use system for calretinin on OMNIS, and the off-label use of the autostaining ready-to-use format on OMNIS is not recommended, as it once again showed poor performance. For laboratories using OMNIS, an alternative antibody such as Cal6 could be considered. Cal6 has shown better performance on this platform, both in the most recent Nordic QC assessment and in the previous runs. Most laboratories were able to stain the strong staining calretinin expressors, such as mesothelioma and peripheral nerves. The challenge was greater with weaker expressors, including granulosa cell tumor, adrenal cortical cells, and adipocytes. One final point concerns adrenal gland. It has previously been recommended as a low expressing control for calretinin. The challenge is that calretinin expression in adrenal gland can vary considerably from sample to sample. A more reliable low-expressing control may be adipocytes in the submucosa of the appendix. They appear to be more consistent low-expressors, and an added advantage, appendix tissue is usually easier for laboratories to access than adrenal gland. CDX2 is a marker used to identify intestinal differentiation. In diagnostic practice, it is especially helpful when we are investigating a cancer of unknown primary origin and want to support or exclude a possible colorectal origin. This is the 7th Nordic QC assessment of CDX2, and once again, the marker performed very well. In this run, 404 laboratories participated and 97% achieved a sufficient result. So, CDX2 remains one of the more robust assays. The best overall performance was seen with the commonly used clones EP25, EPR2764Y and TAC-CDX2. Particularly, strong results were obtained with ready-to-use systems from Leica Biosystems, Ventana Roche and Dako Agilent, especially when these systems were used according to the vendor-recommended protocols. But even with a high-performing marker like CDX2, controls still matter. And the key control tissue to remember here is pancreas. Pancreas is very useful positive control because it helps us to monitor whether the assay has enough analytical sensitivity to detect low-level CDX2 expression. In the pancreatic on-slide control, all ductal and intercalated duct epithelial cells should show at least weak to moderate distinct nuclear staining. If that pattern is present, it is a good indication that the assay is performing at the sensitivity required. CK5 was a different story. Compared with other markers in this assessment, CK5 provided to be more demanding. In diagnostic practice, CK5 is commonly used in prostate pathology, where it helps distinguish benign hyperplasia, prosthetic intraepithelial neoplasia, and carcinoma. It also has an important role in lung pathology, where it can support the diagnosis of mesothelioma and help separate squamous cell carcinoma from adenocarcinoma. In this run, 330 laboratories participated and only 69% achieved a sufficient result. The main reason for insufficient results was the use of less successful antibody clone D5/16P4. This clone recognizes both CK5 and CK6 and showed a reduced pass rate in both concentrated and ready-to-use formats. So, what can laboratories do to improve CK5 performance? For Ventana users, the most direct solution is to choose the ready-to-use assay based on SP27 rather than D5/16B4. Used with the vendor-recommended settings, it reached a pass rate of 97% compared with only 27% for the D5/16B4. For dacoagulant users, the picture is slightly different. Here, performance of B5/16B4 could be improved by increasing the sensitivity of the protocol. In particular, replacing the standard flex detection system with a more sensitive 3-step InVision Flex Plus system had a clear effect. On the Omnis platform, this increased the pass rate with 14% with Flex to 83% with Flex Plus. Anyone wanting to look more closely at the protocol settings can find the details in the CK5 assessment report on the Nordic QC webpage. MLH1. MLH1 immunohistochemistry is used to assess whether tumor expresses the MLH1 mismatch repair protein. In routine practice, MLH1 is usually interpreted as a part of four-marker MMR panel. If the tumor cells showed preserved nuclear staining, this supports intact mismatch repair function. If there is complete loss of nuclear staining in the tumor cells, while non-neoplastic cells still stain as expected, this supports mismatch repair deficiency. In this assessment, 373 laboratories participated and 90% achieved a sufficient result. This was a clear improvement compared with the previous run. The best performance was seen with DACO Agilent ready-to-use system based on ES05. When used according to the vendor recommendations, it achieved a 100% pass rate. One particularly interesting finding was that performance may not only have been affected by the usual factors, such as antibody selection, incubation time, and detection chemistry, it may also have been influenced by antibody stability over time. In some ready-to-use systems, the oldest lot numbers had the lowest pass rates, while newer lots performed better. The most common reason for an insufficient result was weak or absent staining in cells that should have been positive. And this is the key point for laboratories. MLH1 immunohistochemistry requires a highly sensitive protocol. Most laboratories were able to demonstrate MLH1 in cells with high antigen expression, such as proliferating germinal center B cells in the tonsil and basal epithelial cells in the colorectal mucosa. However, detecting MLH1 in cells with lower expression, like resting mantle cell B cells and scattered stromal cells, that was much more difficult. Those stromal cells are especially important because they act as an internal positive control in patient tissue. So even a small reduction in analytical sensitivity can have a direct impact on the final interpretation. PALX5 helps characterize hematological malignancies, especially classical B-cell lymphomas and Hodgkin lymphoma. In this assessment, 335 laboratories participated and 91 achieved a sufficient result. The most consistent results were seen with clone DACPAX5. This clone produced the highest proportion of optimal results, both as a concentrate and ready-to-use format. A key issue was aberrant staining, particularly seen with use of clone SB34. This was seen both in laboratory-developed assays and in ready-to-use systems from different vendors. The reaction was cytoplasmic and could involve stromal cells, endothelial cells, lymphocytes, and peripheral nerve cells. This pattern has also been reported in previous runs and is described in the package insert as a possible reaction. But this is clinically important because PAX5 staining in classical Hodgkin lymphoma can be very discreet. The diagnostically relevant Reed Sternberg cells often show only weak nuclear staining. So if there is too much background, the weak signal becomes very, very difficult to interpret. Let's now move to the breast module, where we focus on ER and HER2. ER remains one of the central predictive markers in breast pathology. It is used to demonstrate estrogen receptor expression in breast carcinomas, and the result is directly linked to treatment decisions. In this assessment round, 400 laboratories participated and 91% achieved a sufficient result. This represents a clear recovery from the decline seen in the previous two runs and brings ER back to the satisfactory level usually seen for this marker. The rapid monoclonal antibody EP1 again proved to be the most robust overall performer. It showed high pass rates both as ready-to-use assay and in laboratory-developed assays. On DACO Agilent Omnis system, the EB1-based assay achieved a pass rate of 95%. The most widely used assay was the Ventana Roche SP1 ready-to-use system on the Benchmark platform. After the earlier problems with recalled antibody lots showing reduced analytical sensitivity, the pass rate of this system returned to 94%. The main problem is still too low analytical sensitivity. This accounted for 97% of the insufficient stains. In most cases, the staining was too weak. In smaller number of cases, the result was false negative. So even though the overall performance is really good, sensitivity remains the main technical issue for ER. And this is where control tissue becomes very important. Tonsil and uterine cervix are useful controls for monitoring the lower limit of analytical sensitivity. In particular, the dispersed ER-positive cells in tonsil should be clearly demonstrated. If those weakly positive cells are not detected, there is a real risk that weakly ER-positive breast carcinomas may be undercalled. HER2-ISC. HER2-ISC is used for detection of HER2 overexpression in breast carcinomas. 431 laboratories participated and 91% achieved a sufficient result. Companion diagnostic assays performed again better than laboratory-developed tests. The strongest performance came from the Herceptin test GE001 assay on Dako Omnis, which achieved 100% pass rate and 91% optimal results when used by vendor-recommended settings. The most widely used Ventana Roche 4B5-based assay also performed well, with combined pass rate of 94% when used according to the recommended settings. In this run, the evaluation still focused on classical HER2 overexpression, and most assays detected these cases correctly. But we know that HER2-ISC is no longer only about finding clearly HER2-positive tumors, and that this is going to make HER2 testing much more difficult. Once again, although less often than in previous run, we could see that assays that detected strong HER2 staining reaction in amplified tumors easily could fail the detection of low HER2 expression. HER2-ish. In this part of assessment, the main focus was HER2 bright field in situ hybridization, or BRISH. The aim was to assess how well the method demonstrated HER2 gene amplification in breast carcinomas. Participants were also asked to interpret the amplification status. This made it possible to look not only the technical quality of the slides, but also how consistently the results were scored. Both BRISH and FISH were included in the part of evaluation. Technically, BRISH performed well in this run. 91% of participants achieved a sufficient result, which is the highest pass rate reported so far for this assessment. Almost all laboratories used Ventana Roche system, and the combined gene protein assay from Ventana showed improved performance in this run and reached a pass rate of 100%. The standard Ventana HER2 dual-ish assay reached 90% pass rate. The interpretation results told a slightly different story. Overall, the consensus rate was 79%. FISH showed the strongest agreement with a consensus rate of 90%, while BRISH reached 75% consensus. So, the message is that the technical quality of BRISH has improved, but interpretation is still more variable than for FISH. And this is an important distinction. a slide can be technically sufficient, but still can lead to variation in the final diagnostic interpretation. Overall, this was a strong assessment round with high pass rates across many markers. Some assays performed very well, others showed a clear improvement, and a few highlighted areas where daily practice still needs careful attention. And this is exactly what Nordic QC is here to reveal. Not only which assays fail, but also when an assay may appear satisfactory while still not being good enough for the decisions that depend on it. Sensitivity, specificity, and reproducibility, and the small technical differences that can influence interpretation, they all matter. On the behalf of the Nordic QC team, we wish all our participants a very good season ahead. Thank you for listening.